All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found, 'cause he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids. And all the mothers are running around looking for their children, but they can't be found, 'cause he's down by...
Thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 87. And I wanted to rush and get this out tonight for reasons that'll come clear in the podcast, but let me summarize really quick. We just recorded this a couple hours ago with myself and Catfish Atelli, as well as a few fans of our former CHL Central Hockey League team, the Arizona Sundogs, who joined us tonight as well. A couple of reasons why we want to rush this out. One, a few years ago, a couple of years back, the Sundogs went dark. The league itself was merged, absorbed, whatever. It no longer exists, the CHL. So our hockey fans here have been without a team for a few years here. Catfish has been working behind the scenes to try and get a team back. He has been wheeling and dealing, and... the hope is that that will happen soon. Now, in the past few weeks, some big things have come up here. Again, we'll talk about that, but we have a basketball franchise coming into the arena, and the Arizona Coyotes, who the Sundogs were affiliated with, have purchased a minor league team and have announced they will be bringing them to Arizona. Now, the problem being for us is that they have mentioned Tucson as the front runner for their franchise. Tucson, a much bigger metro area, over a million folks, and we're a small burg at about 150,000, so in the Quad City area. So it looks like Tucson is the front runner. Catfish has not given up, nor have these fans who have started a grassroots movement using the hashtag on social media, "We will support hockey in PV." So they joined us. We talked about that. We talked about Catfish's history with hockey and with the arena and with the Sundogs. The league in question will be meeting next week, May 10th, to rule on the Coyotes' request to move the team here and where they will be playing. So this is kind of a last-ditch effort to get a Coyotes team here, but as you will hear, regardless of how that decision goes, hope is not lost. Catfish and his band of promoters and of fans and of wheelers and dealers will continue to work on bringing a team here. Now, off mic, he did mention that there are several options out there that he cannot really comment on because of the powers that be that are working on these. So, you know, regardless of what happens next week, there is still some hope on the horizon. So listen in to our show recorded at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. Thank you to the good folks at Gabby's for taking care of us. And visit gabbysgrill.com for information on their specials and their hours and their location and all that. Give the good folks there at Gabby's your business. You will not be disappointed. We are also brought to you today by audible.com. Now, if you go to milehighshow.com and use that Audible link, you can get a free audio download of your choice. You can choose from over 180,000 titles. You get a free download and a free 30-day subscription if you use the code MILEHIGH at checkout. Now, if you are a hockey fan, you could get for your free Audible download, Mr. Hockey by Gordie Howe. The great Gordie Howe wrote this autobiography. This is how it describes how big, skilled, tough on the ice, and nearly indestructible. Howe dominated both the sport and the record books like no one has before or since. This is the incredible story of Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, narrated by Don Hagen. And you can get that free, Mr. Hockey by Gordie Howe, for free at audible.com by using the code MileHigh at checkout. If you are not happy with your free subscription, doesn't matter. No harm, no foul, no charge. You get to keep that free Audible download and cancel at any time. So sit back, enjoy my talk with Catfish Atelli of the Prescott Valley Event Center, and learn about the history, the past, the present, and the future of hockey and sports in Prescott Valley.
Recording?
I've been letting it go for a while. Yeah. I've never seen a brown man turn so red. So Catfish, give me a little background of why your association with the arena, going back to your association with the Sundogs, and your association as a fan from day one. Give me the little Reader's Digest 90-cent version of your association with local hockey.
The association, I'm still here.
You're the only one.
You guys are all still here, too, so thank you, everybody, for being here. Everybody's pretty quiet, too. Shouldn't you guys make some noise to start the show? That was weak. That's not hockey. That's basketball. No, I've been around. Obviously, I've been involved with the team from day one, and these guys here. Family had tickets down in Section 201 with Arn and Eric, all these guys. But, of course, I was with the team for quite some time.
Now,
the team shut down.
Your association from day one was not just as a fan, though.
Yeah, I've always been involved with the team.
Yeah. You with the arena itself, didn't you do some...
Yeah, I was actually one of the companies I owned was a contractor on the arena. I was an investor in the arena and the team, the first team when it came by. Talking in the mic.
Yeah.
Like you never well, I can't, looking at you. I'm looking at, I don't know what, I haven't done this before in front of a, it's usually just Matt and I and a couple candles and a bottle of wine. It's just, it's different. Jennifer's staring right at me.
You have a long history with hockey in general, just as a sport.
Yeah, I've been involved with hockey since I was a kid.
This is not traditionally... A hockey town, so to
no,
speak.
Absolutely
Arizona
not.
Is not really a hockey state.
I think it is now.
Well, it is now, but
for sure.
Yeah. Drop back generations. It's not. Whereas
right.
You know, you go to Michigan, the Eastern Seaboard, obviously Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is hockey roots.
Yeah.
When did hockey start getting its following here? Did it have to do with the folks relocating here from the?
Hockey was sort of an underground. We had the Roadrunners down in Phoenix for a while. That had a very, very big following.
Speak up!
You can't hear me. We're on the air. Yeah, they used to play at the Coliseum. Hockey's been around for a long time. I've been coaching actually hockey in Arizona for 20 years plus.
So when did you move to Arizona?
I had property here since 89, way back then. Yeah.
What were you, six? Property?
Yeah, that's about
back
six
the
or
comic
seven.
Book?
I was old enough.
But you played,
no.
you played as a kid.
I played through
where
high school, through junior, in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York, and then outside
cold.
Philadelphia.
Coldy.
Yeah, New York. There you go.
All right, we've covered it in shows before, and these folks probably know, but where'd Catfish come from?
I don't know. I thought were you asking them or are you asking me?
No, I'm asking you.
it's not
every
really,
time I ask him this on either on my radio show or on podcast, I get a different story.
Yeah,
so I'm
good.
Just curious
it's
how it's going to go this time.
You want to come up with a story for it? Yeah, you grab the mic and go. No, I didn't care for the movie. The movie came from my name. So my real name is Satish. My real name is Satish, S-A-T-I-S-H, kind of phonetically like Catfish. I don't have a good story. It was actually from one of my first coaches way back in the 70s. Italian guy. He always...
Man, you're old.
I am old. Remember...
I'm young.
How many of you guys remember
young,
like the old Pink Panther cartoons? And they had like the Sharky and Catfish characters? And they would always say Capiche,
Catfish. Before my time, I'm sorry.
So, oddly enough, it has something to do. I had my first hockey coach was an Italian guy, and he would always say Capiche, Catfish, and then it ended up sticking with Catfish and... kind of phonetically similar, and 40 years later, I'm still Kevin.
And that's what pretty much everybody up here knows you as.
It's
become your official name. You ever think about going down to the courthouse and changing it officially?
it's on my business cards. It's on a lot of stuff. It's pretty funny. You know, we talked about the hot shots, the 19. So the president of the United States is calling me catfish. and didn't hesitate one word. I mean, like 1 second. So thank you very much, catfish. I'm like, he just didn't even question it.
So it is official.
It's official.
All right.
Depends who you talk to. Sometimes it's fish or sometimes it's just cat.
And sometimes it's things that we don't discuss on here because, like I said, we try and keep it family friendly.
We do keep it family friendly.
So, As a fan, as a kid growing up with hockey and coaching it here when there was no professional team, when the news broke, what was it, 05? When the Sun Dogs were announced?
I believe, yeah.
How'd that make you feel as a displaced skater?
Oh, I was excited as could be. I didn't think I would have a chance of hockey. In the Prescott area, I was always going down to Phoenix or Flagstaff like everybody else. And then the fact that they announced not only there's going to be an arena here, but they're bringing a minor league hockey team, I was excited as could be. And then hockey is such a small world, and then come to find out it's Eric Lacroix and then Marco that was here. Already knew those guys. So it was like even just like
a deep roots in the hockey families and things.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
So what
it was very, very exciting.
Give me your recollections of the first games that we saw in the 06 season?
It was late November, wasn't it? November 11th?
Doing the setup.
Was the first team we played against? Youngstown? It was Youngstown. It was Youngstown. And we lost.
Now you guys may...
but it was great, though.
If you guys are looking for somebody to blame, and I had this conversation with many in the front office... And the operations folks with the Sun Dogs over the years, if you're looking for somebody to blame, do you remember the record first year?
Well, I can't remember the record the first year.
What were they like? Jennifer?
It was a good team. Jump on. Is she going to pull it up?
Give me a ball, buddy.
Wasn't that good the first year.
Second year, what happened?
Championship.
What Championship. Happened second year? Championship, right?
Yeah.
I shot a couple of games inaugural season
local media. He's going to plug himself.
Shot a few games for local media the second year and through the playoffs. Year three, they hired me as the team photographer. What happened? That was several conversations in the locker room, in the front office, as they handed me a check.
Well, that's the problem in the locker room. You were in the front office. If you stayed out of the locker room, it gave us some space there.
I will own up to that. Hinshaw.
That was a great year,
though. He's the team photographer for the Arizona Rattlers. He's been doing this is his second year. And they were undefeated until I shot a game for him last year. And that was the first game they lost there.
Oh, gosh.
And Chris Preston made a point to remind me of that. He says, so the tradition continues. So he's been trying to farm me out to their competition.
Maybe we should shoot their away team from now on.
Just to their away team.
Just visitors only.
The first game. Jennifer, jump on.
Oh, okay.
Or Les.
How are you guys?
I'm good. Tell me what the first game was like for you as a fan.
You know what? I grew up in hockey. I was a huge LA Kings fan, and I grew up with the Kings. Now, to this day, I'll cheer against anyone who plays against them. So calm down, Eric.
Kick that down a little bit. Just here.
Now I broke it. Sorry. You think I know how to handle these?
Did you have this kind of problems when she was in studio with you?
All the time. We're going to ignore Chris at this point. You know, come on. Just don't give Chris Hussey the mic. He'll never get it back. So I grew up with it. So I was absolutely thrilled to death when hockey came to Presque Valley. I was thrilled and jumped in, and it was great. And then I was so excited when we were able to start the Booster Club and really start supporting the team.
Tell me about that. When did that start up? Was that inaugural year?
No, actually, that didn't come in until the last 2 years. And we were able to have the Booster Club. Half my board is actually here tonight. We were able to spoil the players, everything we did. The players, every time they went on a road trip, they were handed a bag of goodies there that they selected. and they took snacks and drinks and treats with them. We supplied pillows, blankets. We cooked for injured players. We
silly
had baby
string.
Showers for wives.
Silly string.
Silly string, balloons. Yeah, we had lots
a
of fun.
Good, a good portion of these guys that were on our roster were early 20s, couple even younger than that.
And are you complaining? Because
no,
I'm not.
No.
Okay, just check. I'm just checking.
These guys were from all over the world, different states, different countries.
Yeah.
And basically by themselves, other than
well,
their,
and that
their
was the
players.
Thing. And
so where did that play?
Well, when they traded, especially, they were given like 24, 48 hours to arrive here. So they literally arrived with the clothes on their back in a bag. So that was a big deal to the Booster Club, was making them feel at home. You know, getting them anything they needed. We supplied the house with laundry soaps, vacuums. I mean, we would go clean the houses. We did everything we could to make them feel.
Yeah, they got it ready, and they got it.
We cooked for them. The Superman. Oh.
Keep it family, super. Yes,
we
family
we
friendly,
even supplied. No. I do have to tell you, we had a player, and I won't say his name, Mark Isherwood.
I will.
And the man came with no underwear, arrived with no underwear. So a few of us from the Booster Club went shopping and bought the man some underwear, including a pair of Superman underwear, which he wore to every game. And if he wore them, we won. We tried to explain to them that he still had to wash them, but you know how hockey players can be.
They get a little superstitious.
Yeah, it was a total superstition, but yes. Yeah, so, I mean, we have a blast taking care of our players, making them feel at home. Like I said, we invited them to our homes for holidays. You know, if they didn't have a place to go, we did baby showers, everything we possibly could to take care of the guys.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Catfish, from the front office point of view, when did your association officially with the team as a team employee start? What year was that?
I don't know officially. I came in, I ended up taking over the team shop for a while.
Yeah.
What year was that? I got my championship ring, so they still gave me a championship ring way before that. But
wasn't it?
But no, I was always involved in the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then
officially, I think it was.
Yeah. What ended up happening was I sold one of my companies, and then Marco brought me on as a kind of a token job to get me in, which was good. I mean, I appreciate it, which is good. I should have brought my ring. I was the token fish, but I brought my ring with me. Or I should have brought my ring with me.
Now, shooting those games, inaugural season, obviously the championship season, even into season three, it was difficult to find spots to shoot because there were so many people.
The place was packed, even on a Wednesday. It was great.
As year three and four came along, we saw attendance drop off. Now, I'm glad to say the faces I'm seeing here tonight were there every single game.
These guys were here all the time, for
I'm
sure.
I'm sad for most of the time. Arn, eh? We saw Arn, you want to pick on me? Go ahead.
Arn,
with your bucket.
Arn was always there. We probably wish he wasn't sometimes, but he was always there. No, just kidding.
There were a very rabid group of fans that were there every single game, every off-ice event, every public appearance, every coach's show. And that was great to see.
It was awesome.
Unfortunately, that hardcore group, while they were there every game, weren't enough, obviously, to fill the arena.
Right.
That was your fault.
Well, we hired this. It all started when we hired this photographer.
Now, if you guys remember Andy, who was the first photographer.
Andy Draper, yeah.
He was about this tall.
Yeah.
And then I went in the first...
Wendy, too. What was her last name?
The first season that I was on...
Wendy.
That I was the team photographer, I came into training camp. And there was some returning players. And after about the eighth guy going, hey, where's the little guy? Where's the little guy? I just got tired of hearing. I said, I ate him. Sit down and smile.
And he was delicious.
But what were some of the factors that came into, because it wasn't just the performance on the ice. There were a lot of factors that came.
Yeah, it was the economy.
Factors that came in. What?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our biggest corporate sponsors and supporters were construction oriented or service to construction industry.
So
knew people were walking away from their houses left and right.
I mean,
the economy was terrible.
2006, it was cresting. 2007, so year 3, 2008 was when the entire country took a nosedive
on
the economy, specifically housing. And we don't have a whole lot of heavy industry up here. We've got a few large employers, but when I moved out here in 04, there was a lot of housing being built. There was a lot of influx, including myself and my family, coming in from other areas of the country.
Yeah.
And then in 08, it
everything
not only
dropped.
Went to a standstill. It took a nosedive.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the average family. You got a couple of kids. I mean, are you going to put food on the table or are you going to buy tickets to a hockey game? You're going to put food on the paper. You know? You're going to pay mortgage. You're going to pay electricity. Yeah. You're not going to buy season tickets. And that's a big factor that of what happened. And that goes all the way up. Some of our players struggled. Some of our staff struggled. Our front office struggled. The arena struggled. The value of the arena went down. The value of all the properties around the arena went down. It just perpetuates.
And with some of the development that that Fane Signature Group and other retailers and other developers were planning to do, I remember seeing some of those early concept designs of what the entertainment district was going to look like in Prescott Valley, the different restaurants, the apartment complex that was going to be adjacent. Yep. All the surrounding businesses were kind of put on hold as the economy took a, a dump.
How many of you guys seen the original plans when the arena was built that the Harkins Theater was a cornerstone. The arena was a cornerstone. That's kind of why the front doors of the arena faced the theater, if you notice that. So Main Street was basically supposed to be a big cobblestone walkway.
Yeah.
Along that was three floors. So the first was retail. The second was corporate. Top was penthouses. So it would have been like sort of like Westgate.
Yeah.
Where you just have this entire entertainment district. And all of that went to the wayside, obviously. That was difficult. But that's...
Notice that similarity.
Yeah. Just point that out. It's funny you should mention the... yeah, Tucson does not have that.
We're going to get to Tucson because I'm pretty familiar with that convention center.
I don't think they have anything near that way.
The rats have ate the spiders.
No. But for those of you who noticed the odd design of the arena, the way the main doors face basically nowhere, and the parking lots are away from the entrances, that's why that main picture was there. They're supposed to be facing the theater and cornerstone each other.
And have a whole... walkway, promenade of different businesses, boutiques, restaurants, coffees, all that good stuff that we, to date, have not seen.
Correct. And I was just actually in the offices this morning, and new plans are being drawn up.
Yeah.
And so that's a great sign for the economy. Yeah. So that's a really good thing.
I want to tell you, we are not an empty arena anymore, effective about, 3 weeks ago. April 12th, I think it was, we had some very nice news come forward. I know a lot of folks here and through social media, the folks that are sitting right here, were a little disappointed that a hockey team was not announced.
But
we did have some good news, not just for sports fans, but for the economy. Everybody from the folks working concessions to security, to ushers, to the fans who are now having a destination to go recap what was announced on April 12th.
We signed the Phoenix Suns are part of our organization now, and they're bringing up an NBA D League team, which is phenomenal. So it's a direct feeder right into the Phoenix Suns. The D League, everybody's looking for the ABC part of that.
Yeah.
So there's no ABC. The D stands for development.
Development. So this is the league where you're seeing very high caliber players.
So this is the AHL version, you know, kind of like what they, AHL version to the NBA. Right. So these players will go up to the NBA, and NBA guys will come down to this league, and it's a direct feeder to the Suns. So the Suns coaching staff will be here. These guys will go down to Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns will come up here. Yeah. It's a direct relationship with the Phoenix Suns.
I had a little chat with Brad Fane of Fane Signature Group right after that press conference.
Yeah.
And that interview, if you haven't heard it, is available on the Fane Signature Group website if you want to listen to it. It's a short little 10-15 minute one. He's got some good insight on there. It's mainly Brad, so listen to it. There's not a whole lot of me on there.
Brad's a smart man. Yeah,
I was very impressed. I was encouraged by his comments at the press conference and the comments he made to me afterwards, because in my conversations with Brad in the past, I was an employee basically. We were definitely not on anywhere near a same level. But I did have conversations with him periodically, occasionally in the hallways and things and at events.
Sure.
I have a bad way of saying a compliment and people take them the wrong way. So this is a compliment.
In case he's listening.
He's not. I'm trying to say this correctly.
Meat and potatoes, get to it, will you?
I was very encouraged and impressed by his comments because they were very un-Brad-like. And if that doesn't come across right, he was very complimentary of the staff from the arena, yourself, Gary, the good folks at Kitchens, Inc. We should have plugged that. We're at Gabby's Grill.
Gabby's Grill.
Right now. I'll do that on the intro. I record separately.
Yeah.
But he was very complimentary and very spoke very highly of the folks like yourself, Catfish, who stuck around when the arena was, and I, again, take this as a compliment, when it wasn't, it was basically a day-to-day operation. Well, who are you going to book? Who's going to be coming next month? Who's going to be doing this? There was no permanent tenants. A lot of folks probably would have left.
We all took major pay cuts. I mean, we worked our butts off to keep that place open. For a long time, we had no financial backer. Global Entertainment went bankrupt. We had nothing. So we went times without paychecks to make sure the ushers and everybody else got paychecks. We did whatever we had to do.
Right about the same time Dogs went dark and the CHL went.
Yeah, yeah. So we basically took on the arena as if it was our own business. We were just talking about that with Mr. Hussey over there videotaping. But that's the best way. I mean, if we didn't take that kind of ownership in it, the building would be closed right now. So
now talk as much of this as you can. The announcement that was made with the Suns Development League, the D League, that was made on the 12th wasn't decided on the 11th. It wasn't decided in March. This is something you guys had been working on.
In the morning of the 12th.
The morning of the 12th. Right after midnight on the 11th. Talk a little bit about...
We had coffee on the morning of the 12th, and we're like, what about basketball?
Talk a little bit about the legwork that went into that and the time frame that those talks were being.
We're always in talks. For those of you that want a hockey team, I'm continually in talks every single day with hockey teams, owners, and leagues, every division, everything you can think of, every lead we can get. It's an ongoing process. I'm the hockey guy. I'm the one that's trying to bring a hockey team back. And Brad had some roots in basketball, had some connections in basketball. And Brad's the one that really, and the Faint Signature Group, really reached out to the owners of the Suns, began that discussion months and months ago, which I'm surprised, honestly, that it came to fruition as fast as it did.
Yeah.
For those of you that want a hockey team, that hockey team that we're going to talk about a little bit later, that's been in negotiations for over 3 years.
Yeah.
Long before, like, we knew the whole AHL swing was going to bring six teams over like a year before it even hit the social media, the concept of it. So these talks last a long time. We're not talking a check for $20,000. I mean, we're talking a very substantial investment into a team. And really, Brad and the Faint Signature Group have a lot to be he'll never accept the time that he put into it, but he's a big reason why the Phoenix Suns came here. And once he made those connections from a business standpoint, then we jumped in as an arena and as a business, and then we started dotting I's, crossing T's, making deals, and we got to where we are.
The cycle for making those decisions is, you know, you got to hit certain deadlines because of the way the team schedules have to go,
right?
The way that the players have to be assigned and picked up and all that stuff. And we're coming up on a deadline. This will be, we're recording this on a Thursday night. It'll be posted early next week, just before the league meeting. Without getting into specifics, just tell me what that meeting is that's happening on the 10th.
So, tell it all.
What league? Who's going to be there? That kind of thing.
So you guys want to know? So the big reason you guys are starting the support. Can I even get into that already?
Go.
The support hockey and PV program that I really appreciate everybody jumping on.
I'm proud to say I butchered that hashtag four or five times.
But the hashtag is, I mean, it doesn't matter as long as we're out there. But
Give the official. What's the official hashtag?
I don't know what is it. Jennifer, what is the official? We will support hockeyandpv.com.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We will support hockey.
It's a Facebook page. It's hashtag we will support hockey in PV. We started it up last week. We're at almost 700 members as of tonight. So it's going strong.
It's huge.
They're posting their memories. They're posting photos. Yes, I have to talk to Chris when I do this show. Yeah, so it's been great. The support has been on it. People keep adding all their friends, and hockey fans are joining it every day.
Now, we know, Catfish, we know you're dialed in to not just the local hockey scene, but you've got your sticky little fingers all over the place.
I do.
What are you feeling? What are you hearing back about this grassroots local effort?
You guys are reaching home. You're reaching the right people. It's working.
Are you poking them in the eye?
We're not poking them in the eye, but they've opened up their window. They're listening. They hear you guys. So it hasn't gone in vain. You guys got some media attention. The media, local media, picked it up. I don't know if you guys saw the article in the paper. There was quotes in there from the Coyotes. So the Coyotes made an official statement about you guys. So you're being heard.
We talked
to Anthony LeBlanc, the owner of the Coyotes, and he acknowledges you guys. You're definitely reaching where we need you to reach.
Now, again, league meetings that are taking place on the 10th, soon after this post, will be where it's decided what the Coyotes can do with their newly acquired team. And they did put something out a couple weeks back. Saying that they were in serious discussion with the city of Tucson and the Tucson Convention Center. That will be decided next week, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, there's the rumor mill that we were talking to the Coyotes. That is true. We've been talking to the Coyotes for years. We've been trying to get the AHL team in for a long time.
No, but as far as what the Coyotes said, they put out the Tucson. That's where the Tucson came from.
So it became a decision between Tucson and Prescott Valley. As you guys know, so
now let's talk about the arenas, because you are very familiar with the Event Center, obviously.
Yeah, I go there once in a while.
Talk about the state of that arena, the physical state of it. Is it prepared to house a team now? What kind of renovations need to be done in Prescott Valley? What kind of overhaul has to be done? Yeah.
Well. Don Maloney, who you guys know is no longer with the Coyotes, he's a friend of mine. We've been talking on the phone back and forth nearly daily over all of this. One of the biggest things that we have that Tucson doesn't have was Don basically just said, Catfish, if we have an issue with the Coyotes tonight at Haller River, we know we can call you and just turn the lights on. We're ready to go. We can house a hockey team. We're ready to go. We don't need to do – we can have a game tonight if the ice was in.
Right around 10 years?
Yeah, we're at the 10-year mark, but
it's a beautiful
everything's
arena.
Upkept. Yeah, and
now,
so
what
we're
do you
in
know
a good
about
position.
Tucson? I do. I've been there. Tucson Convention Center, right downtown Church Street.
Church Street, right off
the 10. This is the best
follow the mice.
Describe it because
you go through Phoenix,
follow the mice
through the dirt.
Yeah,
and get to
the dirt. Not only that. I mean, Tucson's a beautiful town, beautiful city. It's a bigger population. Now let's talk about the arena, the convention center. This is how I describe it. I'm a fan of like old movies, old TV shows and stuff. You need some water?
Yeah.
If you take a 1950s or early 1960s television show where they're showing an old rundown boxing match and they show the guys in the locker rooms and stuff. That's what it reminds me of when I walk through that convention center. And I kind of like that. It's kind of cool going, man, this is old. This is dingy. This is gritty.
Smells like attic.
If they wanted to film a really gritty, dirty film noir from the 50s in black and white, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
The Tucson Convention Center.
Apollo Dugan Hockey Game.
Exactly. And they just finished a major renovation, which meant they changed the duct tape that's holding the seats together. But it has that look. It has that very old-style look. Now, there's some great people that work there. Tucson's got some good air. I like going down to Tucson. It's a great place to be from. Tucson has some great areas.
Sullivan
still needs more renovation. Now, the plus side for the Tucson area is that they have a much larger population to pull from. So the chances of filling an arena
Where are their fans now?
I don't know. But it's just a larger population. Like there's a larger.
Does U of A have a club team? Or a
U of A has a club team, yes.
They practice in Phoenix.
Practice in Phoenix because their ice is terrible and they don't get
enough.
Tucson's had a few hockey franchises in their history, haven't
Not hockey franchise. They had a dual ice rink that was really nice that shut down a long time ago. Yeah.
But I guess this is what I'm getting at. Even if they are, even if Tucson is the front runner, and if we are, much to our disappointment, reading on Wednesday morning that a team is going to Tucson, so we just shut down and we don't pursue hockey anymore.
No.
Absolutely
okay,
not.
So why is it important to keep that fire lit? Keep Prescott Valley and the Quad City area in the sights of decision makers.
Second place sucks. I don't want to be second place. I want the team here. I mean, we worked our butts off for over 3 years negotiating and that kind of stuff. And if it's not the Coyotes, we're going to keep negotiating and try to find another team.
We get bad news Wednesday morning.
Yep.
The fight's still going on. There are other talks being going on. This isn't an exclusive. It's Coyotes or bust.
So I don't know what I can and can't say, but they made the announcement that they're looking at Tucson. If you look at a lot of the articles that are professionally written, they never say that they're in Tucson. They never say that it's a done deal. Only the done deal articles are from bloggers and sports media people. It is not a done deal, so everybody here knows. The reason we know that is because they still called us, and we're still talking. And really, what it ultimately comes down to is the size of the community. Tucson has 1 million people, and we have 150,000 at best.
Yeah.
That's why we want you guys to stand up and be loud and
so
be heard.
Keep going.
And that's where this program started from.
Here, tell you what. Come on up. Come on up. No, it won't pick up. Just leave it if you can. Go ahead. You've got plenty of space.
Just a general question.
Wait, hold on.
No,
hold on.
No,
hold on. Hold on, John. John, wait, John.
Hey, hold on.
Next one comes over is Vancouver.
Testing.
Yeah, tell me who you are, John.
I'm John Stasinski. And one question, does the Tucson Arena have a refrigeration system in the floor there?
They do.
Oh, they do.
They do have an ice rink.
Yeah. I thought we had them on that.
Ice events currently.
They do host
ice
shows
and things like
U of A has an ice hockey club hockey program as well.
Jennifer, slide that over. Let's get that to Arn. He's dying to...
Arn scares me. He's just full of statistical information.
Hang tight. Don't jump in yet. Arn, give me some vocals on there to see if we've got you.
Do you mean like this?
Yeah, and that's the level that we want to keep you at.
Okay.
So, Kat,
no, I was,
first off, Arn, introduce yourself.
Arn Plancher. I've been a season ticket holder since year one.
Thank you, Arn.
Section 201.
But not just... I'm talking loud because I'm on cat. This is comfy. Can we just keep doing it like this?
I don't want to get between you two.
I got goosed.
When I lived in Phoenix, I was a season ticket holder for the Roadrunners.
Yeah.
Get in nice and close.
Okay. When hockey was announced up here, I was... Johnny on the spot to get a season ticket.
But I was worried somebody took the chicken wings
just,
away.
You weren't just a fan. Didn't you have some other roles that you were helping out with?
Well, I did some work for Ashley Stovall for a couple seasons.
Stats and things of that nature?
Stats, yeah.
Game notes.
That's right, game notes.
Yeah.
They make great paper airplanes
from the
press box.
That was thanks to Catfish. He thought I could do it, although what I had done before was frowned upon by the team.
Now,
and we'll let it go that way.
Now, Catfish...
We took lemons, made lemonade out of it.
Catfish speaks on mic very, very guardedly and politically correct because he has... he has to go to work with these folks each and every day.
He has a paycheck to worry about.
Yeah.
I'm far from politically correct.
Day one, what went right with the team? What was going good? Why did people fill that arena? What was happening?
Well, as far as I was concerned...
Yeah, I just want to hear your opinions right now while I steal it.
To me, the best thing is hockey. Like I say, I was a Roadrunners season ticket holder before I moved up here, and... when the arena was announced and the hockey team was announced, I was one of the early season ticket holder, season ticket purchases.
Where was home for you? Where'd you grow up? Or better yet, did you ever grow up?
No, but I was born in Brooklyn, New York. Lived in the New York metro area until I was in my early 20s.
Good. Really good.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Was a New York Rangers fan. Back then, way back when.
What was your experience with team reps, ushers, the front office staff those first couple years? Was it a good? Were they doing their job? Were they making you feel at home as a fan?
Well, I think I was doing things that kind of rubbed some of them the wrong way, and we'll
like
let
what?
It go.
Like what?
No,
come on, no, go.
He's afraid.
I was publishing. One of the things that really frosted my hindquarters was the fact that they weren't giving out what.
I was just imagining a frosty.
No, go ahead.
one of the things we could
really
get
sick
at the Roadrunner games was a roster sheet, and they were charging a buck for a damn roster sheet, or a darn roster sheet, family rated. So I started publishing one for the people in my immediate area in Section 201. That evolved into a sort of my opinion of the way the team was being run.
Carried.
And okay. Several of the owners and directors of the team.
So you
took
were running kind of an our newsletter on hockey.
It was kind of like a very anti-administration sheet.
Okay, let's move to a positive note. Going forward, October, we're looking forward to a season open, whether it's this October, next October, or an October in the future. What would make Arn happy as a fan? What are some things that a team, an administration, an organization can do to make this a
still make sure I get to stay.
One of the things
would be for the team ownership to support a booster club.
Yes.
Okay. As opposed to just a grassroots fan only,
right?
To because have like an official.
Because there was a director of the Suns Sundogs who is no longer here, who moved to Colorado, who is adamant about not having a booster club. And I'm not sure whether the coach had anything to do with that either, but basically this one individual put the kibosh on it.
So yep. get the club behind a very direct fan.
Yes.
Fan connection.
Yes.
Fan interaction.
Definitely.
Not just in the arena, not just
no way.
Not just in-game stuff, but everything off-season,
right.
Off-field, or off-ice.
I know they're
everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I don't care about things like free T-shirts or things like that. To me, that's well, that's
but
fine
no,
for
that,
the kids. But
in addition to that,
well, I'm in my late 70s. I don't need that crap. And okay, and for 10-year-olds, fine. It's geared for 10-year-olds, but some of us are not 10 years old.
But don't have it stop at that.
Yeah.
What would you want?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'd like them to stop playing the music so damn loud.
and get you know, off my lawn.
Especially when play stops. I'd really like not to have to wear my shooting earmuffs during the game. And I was forced to do that for a couple of seasons because the music was so darn loud.
Well, one thing that
well,
can help that
is
keep
outdated.
The sound where it is, but put like three times as many bodies in there,
right.
And they
right.
can absorb some of that sound.
That would help a little bit.
The arena sound system has been...
The sound system in the arena is poor. Lacking in yeah. many areas.
Yeah. There's a couple
anyway,
issues
but,
where
you know that's minor crap.
All right,
they get a hockey team in there. I'll be sitting there.
All
that's
right,
the bottom line.
Thank you, Arn.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Arn.
All right, Catfish. Where Do you let's put on our clairvoyant cap there. Pull out your crystal ball. What can we do to lock in some hockey in this area?
Well, I mean, we're definitely on the radar. A lot of teams want to come here. The team that we're talking about that's going to deciding between Tucson and us is not the only team in the AHL that's shown interest in our facility.
Can you tell us who else?
I can't tell you who else.
But, Catfish, you can't say that the minor system goes beyond the AHL.
The minor system does go beyond the AHL. We still retain
multi-leveled.
We retain a slot in the ECHL just in case. We still have a spot. Obviously, AHL would be the best thing for us, for anybody, so that's where we want to shoot for. For those of you that are diehard hockey fans and then that we have basketball here, keep in mind that basketball is the catalyst that we need to bring a hockey team in here. Brings us the energy, brings us the finance. I will say, because of the basketball team being here, that we're going to have a full season of ice anyway. We're putting in the ice in October, so that's absolutely huge for the community.
So the attraction for a team, for an organization, for a management group, if they're looking at an arena that has a full-time tenant and an arena that's dark, they're going to be drawn to the one that already has a tenant because it's showing that there's support in the area for something.
There's definitely support in the area.
So it's a plus to have that basketball team. It's not a hindrance.
It's definitely not a hindrance. One of the only issues, basketball and hockey kind of overlap a little bit. But we have a team that wants the Suns want us to have a basketball or a hockey team. They want the arena to have a hockey team. So you guys need to rethink about how you think about the Suns because they're here to help us not only bring energy and money to the community, but they want us to have a hockey team as well.
So when prospective tenants, teams, organizations start floating around and show up in December to a basketball game and see 300 people in the stands, that's not going to attract them. They want to see a full house to see that this area can support sports, can
that's
support
exactly
entertainment,
right, yeah.
They have a fan base.
Support is vital. Beyond just the support of a hockey team, just the support of different events. I know we don't have the best events in the world, but all those things, I mean, we're still a small business. We just happen to be, we didn't have Weird Al.
Now, one of the things that...
We're a small business like everybody else. Yeah. We just got a big building, and so we need that same local support.
One of the questions that I had heard from some folks and talking, and I've seen some posts on social media, and that was about the turnaround. You know, it's like, well, if they play at the same time, you know, like you said, they overlap. But I have, and this goes to your crew there, the staff there at the arena with Scott and Paul and all those guys.
Those are monsters.
When I, you know, the nights that I was wrapping up hockey, I was one of the last folks to leave. We'd get our stuff posted and up. So it was sometimes 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm packing up my stuff. And when they were doing that flipper, what's the term you guys use? It's a
conversion.
Turnaround. Conversion. Yeah. When they were doing that for a concert or a gun show or something, I would be up in that press box
and we're
doing my editing and stuff and just watching the way that crew would go from a hockey arena and literally right before my eyes, turning it into a concert venue. So great work by them, great organization, and hard work by these guys through the night. But for folks that don't know how that's done, I know the Courier had some videos posted on it. I think you guys shared them on the
event site. Yeah, we did a few different time lapse.
Watching that transformation going from hockey to basketball or the other way around, basketball to hockey, can be done with a 11 o'clock close out of the arena at night to a 5 o'clock hockey practice the next morning.
You know, lots of times we have, for many people don't see the Sunday mornings, but different shows that happen on Saturday nights, and I'm right back out there at 7 a.m. for Sunday morning hockey with kids or running clinics or something. So we flip it right over. So the best flip we can do is probably 4 to 6 hours. if we bring more people in than that, it's really not going to affect it. With a full staff, about 4 to 6 hours, we can go back and forth between basketball and hockey.
So this is coming out. Yeah. This is coming out May 8th. We'll have this posted up. Going forward, where can folks find out information about the Prescott Valley Event Center and what events you got coming up?
PrescottValleyEventCenter.com, as you guys know.
And links to other social media on there as far as the Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram are right on there. So PrescottValleyEventCenter.com. What's coming up? What's on your guys' calendar?
May is graduation month. We just got a lot of things going. So,
and don't forget the YCC Home and Garden.
I was getting there. They're building a house out front. If you guys drive by the arena, they're literally building a house, and then they're going to move the house for. It's a Habitat for Humanity house, so we're actually building a house in the front parking lot. So, which is really cool.
Globetrotters.
But, yeah. So tonight, Embry-Riddle's practicing.
Last Thursday.
We go to Embry-Riddle graduation. We jump right in from Embry-Riddle to Globetrotters on the 8th. Globetrotters to press conference for the Suns on the 10th. So this comes out on the 8th.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys come out on the 10th. We're going to reveal the logo for the Phoenix Suns, for the Northern Arizona Suns.
6 p.m. at the event center up in the
Jimmy's
the
making
press
free
club.
Hot dogs and hamburgers, so we come out and have dinner, which is kind of cool.
Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. p.m.
Yep.
And they're giving out free stuff, too.
Yeah, we're going to have
not
some of the
hot dogs.
Phoenix Suns alumni will be there to play basketball with you guys and some of the kids and stuff, so it'd be real nice. So that's the 10th, and that Thursday we have Bradshaw Mountain. Yeah. No, take that back.
No, that's in a couple 10th. Weeks.
So that's Tuesday. Wednesday we begin loading for the home show, which is the huge home show, so that takes a week to load in, and that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we jump into two more graduations, Bradshaw Mountain High School graduation, Chino Valley High School graduation. So it keeps going. And then we actually have some different private banquets. And then we jump into our next big concert, which is Elevate in June.
And when is that? What's the date for that?
I think it's the third weekend in June. I think it's like the 24th, 25th. In that, yeah, Elevate.
Very
Christian
nice.
Concert.
So Prescott,
that
Prescott
next
Valley
is August.
Prescott Valley Event Center.com, links to all the social media, a full calendar on there, and information. And again, give a little push out. We'll close out. Thank you, Catfish, for your time.
Hey.
Push out what local hockey fans can do to stay on the radar and work towards securing a team here in Prescott Valley.
Well,
what can they do?
Well, I will tell everybody here that's listening. So even though we don't have a pro team, I do have an NCAA Division I hockey tournament.
See, that would have
in.
Came up on the what events do you got coming up?
Oh, because we're going to do a press conference on that. So we definitely have that. Some of the teams that are in that, we're in the Frozen Four, so we have some really, really good hockey definitely coming. We'll do a press conference. That'll be in December.
And a full fall and winter of public skate. And
public
all that
skate,
good stuff.
Public hockey. I'm bringing in high school hockey games, and then NEU wants to bring 10 to 12 games down here. What's that? I will. I can do that.
But again, recap the grassroots movement that these folks are doing. How important is it, and what can people do? What do you want to see?
The biggest thing that people need to know is that if we don't have a pro team in October, the process is continuing. We're literally every single day we're looking for a pro hockey team to be here. Obviously, when we get into May and June, it gets more and more difficult to get a team for this October, but what you guys are doing, showing your support, showing that you want a hockey team, is exactly what we need to do. When prospective owners are coming here to look, whether it's the Coyotes or whether it's other teams, and there's other people that are in the mix that are looking at our arena right now. There's a different league as well that they actually called and left a message today that wants
that
to be here them. Too. But the fans, you guys are definitely being noticed, and sharing with the community that you want hockey back is huge. It's absolutely huge for us, and keep it up. Really, I mean, it's awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Catfish, thank you. Thank you, folks, for coming in.
Morning.
MileHighShow.com. This will be up next Monday. Go back, check out the library. Catfish has been on there a few times. A lot of great local musicians, artists, entertainers, and me by myself a couple times. You can skip right over those. Leave a review. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play. Leave me a review. Leave me a rating. And periodically, every few months or so, usually with a much longer leeway into it. This was kind of thrown together last minute, so thanks for coming in. But we do some live events periodically where we have musicians, entertainers come in, we play, we have a good time at different restaurants, bars, and venues around the Prescott and Prescott Valley area. Again, milehighshow.com, PrescottValleyEventCenter.com. Thank you, Catfish. Thank you, Arn. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Chris Hussey, for not getting on mic.
Came from his office, said, son, can I help you? Looked at him and said, yes, you can. Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.